All right, if you want to take your Bibles now, turn to Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17. And if you remember, we've been going through a little bit of a mini-series. I think it's been a while since we've been with you last. Little mini-series on friendship in our times together. And this will be the last installment of that little mini-series there regarding friendship. There's a lot, a whole lot in the Bible, what the Bible says regarding friendship. And the book of Proverbs in particular gives us principles about friendship that that we can look at today and we can apply to our own friendships and our own relationships. Now, if you remember, the last couple of messages were about picking the right types of friends. And also, secondly, avoiding the wrong types of friends. Today, I'm going to talk about what I think is one of the most important aspects of all. And that's how to be a good friend yourself. How you can be a true friend. So let me just say from my own experience, really, one of the sweetest things about life, and I'm sure you'll agree, one of the sweetest things about life is the friends that I've made throughout my life, that the Lord has brought into my life. I mean, those close friends that and the people that I feel are I have a great kinship with, and I have a great trust in and a great loyalty too, and they to me too. It's a tremendous blessing. I hope that is your experience also, that you at least have a friend or two or more that are that way, because you only get one opportunity in life, and I found personally that friendship is one of the most blessed personal experiences in all of life. Now, in order to be successful in making and keeping friends, you have to be a good friend yourself. Sometimes some people might say, well, I wish someone would be a good friend to me. But the key is not to wish somebody would come along and respond to you and be a good friend to you. I think it's to be the kind of friend that you ought to be. To have the kind of character, the kind of loyalty that that a friend should have. And you'll be amazed if you're that type of person, like a magnet, how that will draw people to you and attract people to you who will be that kind of friend to you. But Proverbs 17, just a few verses tonight before we actually get into the lesson. Proverbs 17, starting in verse 7. And we'll start there today. In Proverbs 17, verse 7, the Bible says, excellent speech is not becoming to a fool, much less lying lips to a prince. So a fool, obviously, will not have excellent speech. And by the way, I think I said, I think it was last time, or maybe the time before, I said it's the lips. It's the speech that comes out of your mouth that really gives away the type of person you are and tells people what kind of character you have, what you're made of. It's your speech that does that. And I think that's what this verse is saying. An individual who is in authority, in this case a prince, should be an individual of integrity. Someone who has good character, excellent speech. That's interesting, these types of verses, because we're in 2022, which is basically both in the U.S. and here in Australia, it's an election year. In the U.S., it's what we call midterm elections, where we vote for our senators and our representatives, but not for the president. That's the other two in 2 years. But even here, there's an election coming up. What, on the 21st of this month? And I think those of us who are believers, kind of, we look at our politicians sometimes, and I think we kind of marvel at the lack of integrity that some of our politicians really have. I do so wish, as a pastor, as a preacher, that people who are elected to high offices, to public office, I do wish they would simply stand up and really stand for the truth, even if it makes whole segments of our society rather uncomfortable. If they would just stand up and say the truth, regardless of whether it makes them popular or not, they do what they should do. And we're always afraid of offending someone. But when our aim is not to offend anybody, then we end up kind of watering things down and even lying at times to keep people happy. And that's sometimes, I think, what our politicians do. And that type of integrity is not something that we want to see in office. So we remember that the next time we go to the polls also. A man of integrity, a man who works according to his own conscience, and hopefully they're someone who works according to the way the Lord wants them to work. Verse 8, a present is a precious stone in the eyes of its possessor. Wherever he turns, he prospers. In other words, this gift that's given, this present, is something that's it's useful for something. There's a purpose to it. Verse 9, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. And this is a very important point that we're going to make later on in detail in our message. So I won't comment too much on this right now, except to say that this is one of the greatest principles on friendship found in the Bible. Verse 10, rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows for a fool. Now, isn't that interesting? You know, an individual who has wisdom will take reproof. He'll take instruction. He'll take it to heart. And, you know, there have been several key moments in my own life. Now, I haven't always followed these instructions, but there have been times in my life, though, when I've received a staunch reproof from somebody. Somebody, a fellow believer, who had only my best interests at heart. Just wanted to make me, help me to be the best Christian that I could possibly be. And in receiving their rebuke, in receiving their instruction, I was tremendously benefited by doing that. Now, I'll tell you, there are times when I didn't, when I decided to go my own way and it didn't work out very well. But listen carefully. If someone corrects you, who has your best interests at heart, who wants you to walk a closer walk to the Lord, if someone desires to correct you, to help make you better, learn to receive that. Learn to listen. You know, there are parts of it that you can look at your life and you can say, you know what, that's true. I need to change. Maybe there's something that's not. But at least listen to that and evaluate yourself through that criticism. An individual who rejects criticism outright is a fool. If he rejects correction, any kind of correction, he's a fool. And you could give that man 100 stripes with a whip. And it wouldn't teach him anything. He wouldn't learn anything. He'd just go about his own way. And there are individuals, by the way, who are like that. You might say, well, you know, we don't give an individual 100 stripes anymore with a whip. No, we don't. We don't typically give that type of punishment anymore. But, you know, life does that to people, doesn't it? You would think sometimes, have you ever seen an individual, by their actions, who have received, in a sense, the stripes of life? I mean, bad things that have come into your life, consequences for their actions, for the things that they do, and yet they keep on doing the things that they're doing. It's incredible. Difficult things in your life, and you think, boy, you think they'd learn. You think they'd learn from the things that are happening in their lives, from the difficulties that they're experiencing. But they don't. They just continue on. And that's what the Bible's talking about. A foolish person, it could refer to this also, is maybe that type of individual who cannot learn, even though they receive the stripes of life. Even though difficult things happen to them, they still don't learn. Verse 11, an evil man seeks only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger will be sent against him. Now, I think this is a good example of reaping what you sow. You know, you sow in rebellion and cruelty, and you know what? Rebellion and cruelty are going to come right back onto your head. So reaping what you sow. Verse 12, that's a promise now. Let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs, rather than a fool in his folly. Now that's an interesting statement. How many of you ever come across a bear in the wilderness? Not many bears. Maybe what people might call a koala bear, even though it's not a bear. But I'm not talking about that. I and my family, we've come across several bears in the wilderness in our lifetime, but fortunately, we're blessed to not have come across an angry bear in the wilderness. We never have. But think about this. A bear with her cubs is particularly volatile. You come across a bear with your cubs, you better get out of there. Because, you know, we've all seen or heard or read about someone who happened to come across a set of cubs with a mother bear nearby, and some of which who have never come back to tell the story. They never lived to tell the story. But the Bible is saying this. It's more dangerous even than that to meet a foolish person. And boy, there are some people in this world who are something else. And we probably know some of those people. A fool can be very, very dangerous. Maybe in a different way than a she-bear with her cubs, but they're still very, very dangerous. Even some, most ways, more dangerous than a bear. So what's the Bible saying? Verse 13. Whoever rewards evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. And again, you kind of have that you reap what you sow kind of philosophy there. Now today, tonight, we're going to speak on the matter of friendship. And in the verses we've read just now, there's a key to friendship that we'll get to in just a moment, in another point. But there's an old adage, maybe you've heard it. To have a friend, you have to know how to be a friend. You've heard that one? Yeah, it probably comes from directly from Proverbs 18:24, right? A man who has friends must show himself friendly. That's pretty smart. That's pretty common sense. But I want everyone to listen here. I want to help you with something today. There is really no reason, now I'm not assuming anybody here is, but there really is no reason for anyone in this room to experience a prolonged period of loneliness. Right? A prolonged period where you feel lonely. Now, I'm going to explain, so listen carefully to what I'm going to say. Loneliness is an emotion that can come upon a person, even unawares, even suddenly, out of the blue sometimes it can come. Sometimes what we refer to actually as the blues, when someone gets down a little bit, it's a feeling of emptiness or a feeling of loneliness. Now it is possible for a person to come upon times of life where that kind of comes out of nowhere. I'm not talking about that. Where you just go, you just get down a little bit for a temporary period of time. Oh, and by the way, I read something this week that's pretty good, and I think it may help us, each one of us, this week. Listen to this. I wrote this down. Someone wrote, "It's okay to be disappointed. Never get discouraged." It's okay to be disappointed. Never get discouraged. And I think that's a tremendous philosophy. You know, people will disappoint you. Friends will disappoint you. Events in life will disappoint you. Disappointment is momentary. Discouragement is chronic. So we don't want to get discouraged. It's okay for me to be disappointed in someone. I don't have the luxury of being discouraged. Does anyone follow that? Hope you do. Now, there may be someone here who may think, well, you know, the way you talk, everything in your life must be rosy, and you must always be happy, and, you know, when you walk into church on Sunday morning, the choir is singing, and the angel choir, and they're singing the hallelujah chorus, and everything's going just great. Well, read my emails on any particular day, and you'll find out that everything is not always great, right? That's not always true. It's not all joy and rejoicing. But follow me. It's okay to be disappointed. It's never good to get into discouragement. Now, in dealing with friendships, you may at times be disappointed with people. You should never be discouraged. Now, follow me. When I say that no one should go through a prolonged period of loneliness, here's really what I mean by that. You simply don't have to. You don't have to, but, oh, you know, I've never had the ability to make friends, you might say. Well, listen carefully. This is I think this is good sound advice. It's not something I came up with. I think I heard it before. But if that is the case, if you have trouble making friends, you can still learn that ability regardless of what stage in life you are. You can still learn to be a friend. Now, if that's the case, you might say, well, how would I begin by doing that? Part of what I would do if I were in your shoes is I would get into the workings of this church. I would get involved. Find ways that you can be involved and minister to others and share with others. Get involved in the inner workings, the ministry of this church. Now, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, kind of ducking in before the service and ducking out right after the service, something like that. But staying and ministering to people and getting involved. And after a while, you know, when you've been working alongside with people, ministering with and to people, things can blossom into friendships. Friendship does not take place overnight, but friendship is impossible without some kind of measure of camaraderie together. And that's what ministry does for us. So there has to be interaction with people. We have to interact with people. If an individual is generally lonely, it's because, well, maybe they haven't taken the steps not to be lonely. I know there are some people who might say, well, if I do that, that kind of opens me up to be hurt. All right, yes, every relationship that we get into, every relationship is a risk, isn't it? Every single one. Every time you love somebody, you're taking a risk. Now, people who succeed in life's relationships are willing to risk being hurt. Everything that you love in life, when you love, you take a risk. But if you never take that risk, you'll never enjoy one of the sweetest things in all of life. To have friends, you have to know how to be a friend. Now, while friendship is a two-way street, yes, each traveler should go the extra mile to try to make that friendship thrive. And Proverbs teaches us this way. Proverbs teaches us to maximize our friendship potential by being the best friend that we can be. And I'm going to give you four principles now, four principles in regards to this. How can you be a true friend to your friends, to the people you're around? Well, first of all, Roman numeral number one, if you want to write this down, Roman numeral number one, help your friends through difficult times. Help your friends through difficult times. Yes? Did I print the wrong one? Oh, great. Well, turn it around to the back and write it on the back. See, this is where the mind is not working today. Turn it on the back. Write your outline on the back. Help your friends through difficult times. I know everybody's giving me a funny look. My mother had a phrase that she used to use. And I'm sure you've heard this phrase. She would say, so-and-so is a fair-weather friend. You ever heard that one? You know what a fair-weather friend is? That's somebody who's only a friend when things are going good. You know, when you're having a good time. They're only friends when things are going well or when everybody's happy. Well, turn with me to Proverbs 17 and verse 17. Proverbs 17, verse 17. You may already be there. I don't know. There the Bible says this in verse 17, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. And that means friendship is more than just an acquaintance. It's more than just an acquaintance. It's a commitment. Friendship is a commitment. And when I say I'm a friend to someone, I'm a friend to them in the good times as well as in the bad times. Letter A. Friendship grows in good times and should deepen in bad times. Friendship grows in good times and should deepen in bad times. So do not allow bad circumstances to distance a relationship. The same principle is true with marriage. You know, you love at all times. You take that vow, you know, for better or for worse. And you're there with your spouse through the good times and through the bad times. You love at all times. And I'm thinking of a family right now. Not necessarily a family from our church. But I know of a family who are having pressures in their lives, and that pressure in their lives is sort of breaking apart their family. It's affecting their marital relationship. And negative circumstances are causing friction between them, between the husband and the wife. They were fine in good times, but when the friction came, the friction came in the bad times. And the Bible says, no, a friend loves at all times. All times. Point B. Because friendship involves commitment, we mentioned that, right? It always involves cost. It always costs. Friendship always costs. Whether it's time or emotions or anything else, friendship has a price. It has a price. And a true friend will pay the price even when the price is high. By the way, the richer and the deeper and the more meaningful the relationship, usually over time, the higher price you're going to end up paying. And let me testify, it's worth everything it costs. To have a friend like that, to have a friend through thick and thin, to have a friend through the good times and the bad times, to have a real friend in life is worth the cost. But there is a price to it. Letter C. Biblical friendship gives support through adversity. Biblical friendship gives support through adversity. Remember that verse said, a brother is born for adversity. Now, why does God put people into our lives at a particular time or another? People who somehow we're attracted to in the spirit of kinship. Why does God put people in our lives at those times? Well, oftentimes, like it says, it's for support through difficulty. And let me say this, you are wealthy indeed. If there is someone in this world that you can pick up the phone when you're having a problem, even if it's 2 in the morning, and I wouldn't recommend you do that too often, but even if it's 2 in the morning and that friend will wake up out of his drowsiness, answer the phone, and help you through your problem even then. He'll commiserate with you. He'll encourage you. Wealthy are you indeed if you have a friend like that. Now, how is that kind of friendship fostered? Well, it's developed only by time and by tremendous investment and commitment. Now, I would encourage every person in this room to have that type of commitment to their friends. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. So not only should you help a friend through difficult times, that's Roman numeral number one. Roman numeral number two now. Keep the confidences of your friend. Keep the confidences of your friend. I think this is really a key one here. Keep the confidences of your friend. Turn with me to you're probably already there again. Chapter 17 and verse 9. Look at verse 9. The Bible says there in verse 9, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Now, turn with me a chapter back to Proverbs 16. We're going to look at verse 28. Proverbs 16 and verse 28. And in verse 28 of Proverbs 16, it says, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. So keeping confidences, that is a major, major facet in a friendship. Letter A. Friendship seeks to protect the reputation of a friend. Friendship seeks to protect the reputation of a friend. A true friend, listen, a true friend will not spread unflattering details about his friend's life to other people. Now, I mean, we live in an incredible age of technology today, don't we? I mean, we've got all kinds of things, from mobile phones, we have email, we have Facebook, we have Twitter, we have all these different things, all these different ways to communicate faster and more efficiently than we ever have before. And that will only increase. But you know what that also means? It means gossip has gone high tech. Right? It's easier than ever to spread these types of things. Now, let's be honest about you. There's an awful lot of prayer requests sometimes that go around that are shared over the wire that are really nothing more than the unseemly details of someone else's life in the form of prayer requests. And it's easier than ever to kind of go on the internet and probably dig up dirt on anybody you can think of. And people do. And if you're in the habit of spreading those types of things, you cannot be a true friend. You can't be a true friend and do that. Now, friendship is deepened by a confidence that you have the other person's best interest at heart. Right? And you defend their reputation. Listen to this. You defend their reputation even if it's not worth defending. You say, well, my pastor, my friend, was dead wrong. Yeah, well, you were dead wrong last week. You didn't hear him going around spreading your mistake or your sin to other people last week, did you? You don't want that broadcast all over the world. If you're a good friend, you'll be the kind of individual who will not broadcast it. Keep confidences. Point B. And this is important also. Covering a transgression, as we've mentioned in Proverbs 17:9, covering a transgression does not mean failing to deal with sin. It does not mean failing to deal with sin. It's not a cover-up. It's not a, well, my friend sinned, but since I'm their friend, I'll look the other way. That's not how it works. No, it's not that. Rather, a true friend will help their friend, but confidentially, with no impulse to publicize that information. Does everybody see the difference? In other words, I'm helping someone on a confidential level. That's what a friend will do. It's not that you're not confronting them. Certainly you are. But when you do confront them, it's just you and them alone. And you bare your heart to them and you say, you know what, I'm burdened for you. Now, I'm bothered by this. Can I help you in some way deal with this aspect of your life? Because you're willing to cover the transgression. Now, not sweep it under the rug, but hide it from the eyes of others who have no business knowing while you're dealing with the sin in their life. Point C. Relationships are weakened and frequently destroyed by loose lips. Friendships are weakened and frequently destroyed by loose lips. Now remember that gossip will gain the ear, but never the friendship of the people to whom you gossip. You're not going to look better in someone else's eyes when you gossip to him. Yeah, you'll get their ear. You know, if you've got something juicy to tell them, people want to listen. They want to hear all the details, and you know, even if you have to make them up, they want to hear it all. But you know, the last thing they're going to want to do is have a close friendship with you, because now they know your reputation for sharing things. They won't want to be your friend. Letter D. Betrayal by a friend is a wound that may never completely heal. Betrayal by a friend is a wound that may never completely heal. If you value a relationship, oftentimes you will keep your mouth shut. Now, can I say this? One of the most valuable attributes of any individual, particularly a Christian, I think, is the attribute sometimes of knowing what not to say. Not just knowing what to say, but knowing what not to say. That's a tremendous attribute. I mean, James, in James chapter 3, tells us that our tongues get us into a world of trouble. All the time. And in friendships, the trouble sometimes is this, betraying a friend verbally. Now, think of this. If you're sensitive, you have a friend and maybe they have a problem, or there's a detail in their life that's kind of out of sorts and needs to be corrected, or that would make even good gossip material. You have this friend, and maybe you have a third-party mutual friend, let's say. And all of a sudden, there's this thought that you're going to mention this to that other person. And think about this. You know what happens in your life. I know what happens in mine. Right before you're about to reveal this juicy tidbit of gossip to this third person, there's this little inner voice that speaks to you and says, don't say it. Don't say it. Right? And how many of you would say you've heard that inner voice?
I have.
Yeah. I know I have. How many of us have said it anyways? I won't ask. You know what's best to do? It's best to listen to that little voice. Because that little voice may in fact be the Holy Spirit of God telling you not to do it. It's best to obey that impulse and not say something. Now, think about this. What harm would there be in not saying it? Probably none. I mean, have you ever asked yourself that? What benefit would there be in saying it? Probably very little. Right? Well, it makes for a good conversation piece. Well, don't make a conversation piece out of your friends. Don't do that. Be careful what you say. Letter E. The closest relationships flourish where mutual trust is the ever-present unspoken constant. Now that's a long one. Let me repeat it again. The closest relationships flourish where mutual trust is the ever-present unspoken constant. Now you don't have to say to this person who is your friend, hey, I know I told you a bunch of sensitive things. Please don't go share it with anybody else. You don't even have to say that. You don't have to say, well, I hope you don't tell anybody else this, but I'm having a real problem with so-and-so, whatever it is. You don't even have to use those words, don't repeat or don't tell. Why? Because your friend is so close that they already know. They already know they're not to repeat it. And that's when friendships can flourish, when there's that kind of trust in confidences. Roman numeral number 3. Treat your friends with respect and courtesy. Treat your friends with respect and courtesy. Proverbs 27 and verse 14. If you want to turn there, Proverbs 27 verse 14. And this is an interesting one. Proverbs 27, starting with verse 14. He who blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it will be counted a curse to him. Now it's talking about the person who's a morning person with a vengeance. Anybody like that? I'm the opposite. I despise those type of people. That's not what I am. It's like someone getting up early in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, while your friend is still groggy, still sleepy, and shouting to him, hey, neighbor, great day today. God bless you. And, you know, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. You'd say he's a nut. I don't know what he's doing. And if he did it often enough, several days in a row, it would become a curse to you. You'd get really irritated. It'd become irritating. It would be a curse. Now, how about this verse? Proverbs 25 and verse 17. Proverbs 25 and verse 17. The Bible says in verse 17 of Proverbs 25, seldom set foot in your neighbor's house, lest he become weary of you and hate you. Now, what do these verses mean? Well, letter A. Do not allow familiarity to breed contempt in a friendship. Do not allow familiarity to breed contempt in a friendship. Kindness, consideration, good manners. Those are all the oil that kind of works in the cogs of in the machinery of a good friendship. They oil the thing. They reduce friction in a friendship. This friend is at your house, rising up early in the morning and blessing you, right? You know, it's not always good to be that one who's so close to someone because friction can go. It can get going. Point B, strong friendships allow for distance. Strong friendships allow for distance. You know, friends actually can get on each other's nerves if they're together for too long. I can tell you that. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, how many of you men have ever gone on a camping trip with a bunch of guys that you thought you knew? As you thought were friends, right? And that person you thought was a friend became really irritating by the end of the week, right? Because you spent so much time with them. You begin to wonder why you're friends with that person. Well, why? Because you get too close to an individual for too long. And that's the kind of thing that this verse is talking about. An individual who's too close for too long. And there's good advice there. Know your limit in spending time with people. Know your limit in relationships. Give them distance sometimes. Letter C. Do not be overbearing and possessive in friendships. That can hurt a friendship too. Allow your friends to have other friends as well. That's pretty common sense. Allow your friends to have other friends as well. Now, this individual in Proverbs 27 verse 14 is really overbearing, isn't he? Now, how do we know that? He's there early in the morning. Maybe every day. Who knows? He's the kind of person who's all or nothing. You know, he's in your face all the time. And listen, that can kill your ability to build a relationship, to build friendships. If you're possessive, if you're always there, if you're always trying to take up their time, you can bless your friends, but if you do it too much and at the wrong time, it's not going to work, right? Without giving them space, that can become really irritating. Letter D, know when your presence has become irritating. Know when your presence has become irritating. My mother often said, my mother's always got these good words of wisdom, enough is enough, and sometimes it's too much. Sometimes enough is too much. She had a lot of wisdom in all those little pithy sayings. Keep a little distance sometimes. Keep a little distance there, and your relationship will be stronger for it. Don't always be in your face with your friends. Okay, Roman numeral number 4, our last point. Be loyal to your friends. Be loyal to your friends. Again, turn to Proverbs 27 and verse 10. You're probably already in 27. Look down to verse 10. Verse 10 of Proverbs 27. Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend. So be loyal to your friends. Now, what is loyalty? Loyalty, I think, means this. That I put my relationship with that person on a high plane, and I refuse to betray that relationship. I mean, loyalty is vital in marriage, right? Mentally, you should place your marriage on a high pedestal, in a high plane, and refuse to betray it. Now, the same should be true with friendships also. Loyalty is important. Letter A. Speaking of loyalty, friendships should be chosen with caution and maintained with care. Friendships should be chosen with caution and maintained with care. Now, forsaking a friend happens frequently by default, doesn't it? I mean, the only way to counter this is by active attention, not in-your-face attention now, but at least active attention. Now, what do I mean? It says, do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend. You know, it amazes me sometimes when people can say, well, so-and-so and I used to be friends, but we kind of drifted apart. You drifted apart from a good friend? Why did you forsake each other as friends? You say, well, you know, it was distance and it was time and it was this or that. We just kind of drifted apart. Now, why was there a forsaking there? Well, simply put, it didn't happen on purpose. You didn't plan it. Right? For most of us, our friendships are not lost by marching out the door and slamming it in their face and saying, I'm never going to be your friend again. You know, a lot of our friendships just kind of fade away. Right? True friendships. Over time and over distance, by default, we end up forsaking friendships. Now, if they're a true friend, If they're a friend who's worth having, now that's sad. That's a sad tragedy. Because in life, you're only given so many friends, right? In a time of modern technology, it shouldn't be too hard to keep up with friends. You know, an email here, a text there, a phone call, whatever, to keep up with friends. If it's a friend worth keeping, keep them. You know, we're not talking about maybe the old West there in the U.S. where pioneers left their families and went way out into the bush in their covered wagons, and it would take weeks or months to get information back and forth to one another. We're not talking about that. We have the technology to stay in touch with our good friends. All of these things are going to help us to build and keep a friendship. Letter B. Place a high value on your friendships. Place a high value on your friendships. Now, we don't lose track of the things that we value. You know, the reason some people aren't friends is, well, maybe we just lost track of each other. Do you lose track of the things that you value? If someone were to hand you a check for $1,000, would you just throw that check by the wayside and lose track of it? No, you'd probably put it in a place that would be very safekeeping until you could cash that thing. When someone gives me something valuable, I put it in a place, some place where I know it's going to be there when I need it. Why? Because I don't want to lose track of it. Man, I panic when I misplace my phone sometimes. I make an effort to hold on to it, to make sure I know where it is. And relationships should be the same way. Letter C. Realize that relationships are more valuable than issues. Realize that relationships are more valuable than issues. Now, very few issues should ever break up a friendship. I think we're very petty when it comes to that. What a shame when they do. I know a lot of people who've had friendships, good friendships, that have lasted for years and years. And then all of a sudden, something, maybe even something very minuscule, a little issue gets elevated to this point of disaster, right? This point of such severity, the friendship is over. Now listen, you want to preserve a friendship? Step away from whatever that issue may be between you and this friend that you've had for so long. And you know what? Step back and ask yourself, is this issue really worth destroying a friendship over? Let's step back and evaluate it. Oftentimes, you know what? You'll come to the conclusion, it's not. It's really not. Letter D. Remember that there is something inherently wrong with an individual whose life is littered with broken relationships. There's something inherently wrong with an individual whose life is littered with broken relationships. Now, such people are always dangerous people to have as associates, as friends. Now, I've been a bit of a student of people, kind of a people watcher since I've been a pastor, probably around the age of 25. And I've watched people. And by the way, everybody kind of falls into really... Everybody falls into a certain category, including myself. Now, all of us fall into a certain category, and there's a category of people, and I'm glad it's not an extensive category, but there is a category of people who, when you get to know them, maybe you've met them, when you get to know them, they will tell you story after story after story about broken relationships, of places they used to work, but hey, I don't work there anymore. About friends they used to have, oh, they're not my friends anymore. Business partners they used to have, well, they don't work with them anymore. And it's all in the past tense. And none of it has been maintained. And in talking, they reveal their life is really just littered with the carcasses of broken relationships. And now they want you in their life. Think twice. Can I say this? You will be no different in their life. And I'll say this secondly, don't be that type of individual. Maintain your friendships. Don't let little issues come between you and your relationships. Build friendships and relationships that will last a lifetime. Don't easily break those off. Don't burn your bridges. Because I'll tell you, it's lonely on that island. So oftentimes it's an island of our own making, isn't it? Understanding that, we want to be people who love people, to be people who are true friends and who are loyal people. And I hope these principles will help us in life as we build relationships, as we build friendships. You know, you are, again, I'll say it, you are truly blessed. You're blessed of God if you have a real friend, a true friend like that. And if you have several, you are especially blessed. Hold on to them. Value them. Nurture them. Nurture those relationships and put hard work and consistency into them if you want to keep them. You say, you know, I really want a friend like that. Well, be a friend like that. Be a friend who will love and nurture other people. Be the right type of friend. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word today. These are wonderful principles from the book of Proverbs. And Lord, how good these things are for us to read, for us to understand and practice in our lives. Lord, again, we've only just scratched the surface on all this. Help us to develop relationships that are strong and are solid. Relationships that we treasure. Understanding that is, it's inevitable that friction will come, but valuing those relationships beyond petty little issues that would separate people of lesser character and lesser depth. Help us to be strong. Lord, I pray that you would make us people who would know how to forgive each other. Forgive each other of those little slights and those little offenses that will come from time to time. And Lord, make us loving people. Having many close friends and associates that who can help us, whom we can help, Lord, in their time of need. But Lord, in turn, who can help us when we have a need in our own lives, who can lift us up. Lord, thank you for the blessing of friendship. Lord, we pray things in Jesus' name. Amen.